it used to be that the biggest fear traveling the highway was that you would run into a moose. Because if we saw any movement off of the sides of the roads, that we were to tell our parents right away while they were driving, see a moose, see a moose. We don't even do that anymore. Nobody even worries about seeing a moose on the road anymore, because the fact of the matter is they've been hunted to the point where that they no longer come to the roadways. They no longer are in the sloughs that are parallel to the highways. They're no longer in the places where we always knew them to be. They're being overhunted. It's really sad. And it makes me angry. I learned it from my parents and from my grandfathers and from my aunts and my uncles and my cousins. Just about everybody I came into contact, in one way or another, moose was king. From a very young age, from the moment I could understand the world around me, moose have been a part of that existence. Those memories are beautiful, of watching your auntie go up and cut a piece of the cheek off Auntie Raina and eating that and going, mmm. Or my Uncle Hector, you know, just dancing around with joy, eating the moose head, telling us their memories of eating the moose and how they used to do it. Understanding within Indigenous people that if salmon and moose and caribou and other traditional food sources disappear, then how are we any different from the people that go to the supermarket? It is true that you do reduce culture by removing culturally appropriate and significant food sources. It is true that you do reduce culture by it removing is that culturally appropriate reduce and culture significant by food sources. Removing culturally appropriate and significant food sources.
Did you want to read one of your pieces, or one from this book?
I have a very short piece in there, but I'd like to say it's a little bit more about megaphone.
Okay.
On there.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you know, the station tries to play music from self-launched artists or music from artists who are doing their own work. Do you know of any person or a piece of music that would be good to put in?
Indigenous women and part of reconciliation, people like Susan Aglukark and other Indigenous peoples and songs. I notice even on tempo, I forgot the name, CBC something, it plays classical music. Mm-hmm. Since Reconciliation around the world, they have incorporated indigenous music on their themes as a part of Reconciliation for Survivors of Residential School. Mm-hmm. And the prayers for all of the children that was found. One of the things that was made an artist when the 215 was found, there was a little picture of inside the ground with no markers, and the one little child you could see was a girl. She said, "They found us."
Hmm.
And wow. Then there was a picture of a sun, the moon, and all the children walking up there to heaven. I might cry because, as a survivor, but, music from indigenous peoples, even indigenous drumming, there's round dance songs, prayer songs, and other things. I'm a woman drummer from Taiko drumming. Since I got clean and homeless, a Taiko drummer, indigenous woman drummer and singer. I sang, used to sing in bands, and I was a biker chick, and I was a lot of different things over the time. But having art and different stuff as a female singer and a female drummer, the importance of having your voice and having it written down, even you see it yourself later. There were some pieces being on the Speakers Bureau lately. I was on different Speakers Bureau, Sisters and Spirit Speakers Bureau, but the different music that was played over there was a lot of our own. And I don't have my drum here today, and I can't sing without a drum, so I'd love to sing for you, but I kind of forgot my drum.
Oh,
That is a wonderful segue in hearing about some of the music that we can play, because there is an importance for community and college radio to bring the voices of people, bring the music so that people can not just hear a few facts on the news or hear about homelessness or hear about missing and murdered women, but to really see that there are people doing things to preserve the heritage, things to change their lives, and things that are hopeful. So I'd like for you to speak a little bit about, because how you've taken that transition from being defeated to now pursuing a dream.
I might cry, but the reason I quit heroin, I was 80 pounds and I was 5'7". And I remember even in winter wearing miniskirts and boots up to my thighs. And I was in the winter and there was snow. And there's 500 plus sex workers, Richards and Seymour. And even though we're all there, many of them had made money. We used to make $500 to $1,000 a day. And it all went up my nose. But as the people that, when you get hope and things, I was 80 pounds heroin addict, and I went to get all my tests. And as a sex worker, every time I got my blood tests, I always thought, is it there yet? Is it there yet? HIV and AIDS. It was the 80s, early 80s. It was a big scare. But all my tests came back negative, and I had hope then. And it took me a long time. I think it was 42 months, mostly time in the hospital, because I didn't want to take methadone. I almost didn't survive, but that's what gave me hope and different stuff. And that's how my husband got clean too, and we stayed together. It's now 28 years with my husband. We're too old to argue now.
Congratulations.
And when you believe in hope and you see your writing and you write your story, you see yourself sharing your story. You know, there could be depressed people for years and years staying in their house shut-ins and addicted, laying there after you use or drink or do something. And when they read a story, it could be like, oh, wow, you're not alone. So when you see hope today, read about it. Read about it, because I read somebody's story and it gave me hope. As an Indigenous woman, I didn't give up. And I knew my story was like someone else's. And I'm here today to share that hope and that things with you. Because it was a very lonely world. And I remember seeing my sister Dion get killed on Seymour in a laneway. A guy was in the laneway and whistled, and we flipped a coin who was going to go there. I thought the guy backhanded my sister, but he slit her throat. He was holding her neck. And it was along that couple of weeks, there was a string of 17 women in 2 weeks that was killed. And we all went out there. Even though a lot of us hated each other on the street, we all stuck together and worked in pairs and more. And but from there and growing, seeing hope, and I'm going to start writing a book soon. I'm 54 years old, and I write about my way of, it's going to be called Hooker's Highlights. And my book is about some of my past as I lived there, some of the things I went through, and some of the stuff I asked my children when I had exited. I was very vocal, many radio stations, many papers and newsletters around the world, and I asked my children, because I was very vivid about my exiting and my sex work and addiction, I asked them, I'm sorry, did that bother you? My children, I have 32, 29, 28, and 27, and I had 4 kids and I raised 9, and they each said, we're so proud of you. You did what you had to. And even though I went through that residential school and everything else, kept myself in school, went to college and university, all throughout my addiction and everything, that's just how I got into the sex trade, because being a broke student, you're hungry, living on noodles and slice of pizza or Kraft dinner. And now today, You could have things in life, and when you read about it, especially as a power of woman, and people give us a chance to be on these things. And today, I work at a mental health center and a women's center. I've been at 25 years, mental health center for 17 years, as a caretaker and support worker for people that are dying. And it was all from selling this paper, Megaphone, how I changed my life.
Well, that is a loud voice. Your voice is a megaphone that will help other people see there is a way to recover. There is a way to help each other. So thank mm-hmm. you for just that beautiful story and the sincerity of wanting to help other people know that there's a publication called Megaphone that's more than just a publication. It's a way of life. It's a way of being just about giving people a chance to write their work, to put their pictures in, for the publication to make money for it to stay in business. But also, it has enabled you to make hundreds of dollars each month and to be able to count on it. So you just have a big shout-out to Megaphone. And when you see it, when you say take time, sometimes when people are trying to show people something on the street, people turn away or they will just try and hand them some money. But take a moment, as Paul mentioned, there are going to be several events that are happening around the city. And this book is, it's got beautiful color. You know, most people, you know, critics say, oh, we can't use color. You can have four color pictures in your publication. Mm-hmm. There's a picture on every page, and it allows people who aren't able to express themselves through words to express themselves through pictures. And the pictures go with words that someone else has written. So
you could Google my name, the Indian Princess, and even Indian Princess Megaphone, Suzanne Kilroy, and you'll see pages and pages and pages and so much about my things. When you're sharing your stuff, I want to just tell everybody, especially SFU universities and other people, going to be powerful people helping the world go around. You decided to go to your studies and you're powerful people. And I believe in all of you. For anybody out there and for anybody that has a story, everybody has a gift. Every single person in the world, find your gift and share it. Speak loud and speak well and don't give up, because it's a great big world. It's a huge, huge world, and we're little tiny people in this world. Every one of us have a voice. Don't be afraid of the world, because the world wasn't afraid of us.
And that's why our show is called Saluas. We speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. Act upon the things you can do to support other people's purpose. Act up to find your own purpose, and the ways that one kind thing, like saying yes to someone, giving a smile, can definitely make a difference in this world.
I have a short song I'd like to share with you.
Okay.
I'm going to sing it. It's a song from back east, and I've been given permission from my elders to share this. So I'm going to share this with you now. The verses, usually we stand and four directions, facing north first and in each direction. Okay, I might cry a little bit after, but here we go. Me he quit to mama na. Hey, hi-yo, hi-yo, hey-ya. Hey, hi-ya-ya, ho, hi-ya-ya. Hey, hey-yo. Me he quits to mama na. Hey, hi-yo, hi-yo, hey-ya. Hey, hi-ya-ya, ho, hi-ya-ya. Hey, hey-yo. Me he quit to mama na. Hey, hi-yo, hi-yo, hey-ya. Hey, hi-ya-ya, ho, hi-ya-ya. Hey, hey-yo. Me he quit to mama na. Hey, hi-yo, hi-yo, hey-ya. Hey, hi-ya-ya, ho, hi-ya-ya. Hey, hey-yo.
Man, thank you. Oh, I have chill bumps. Okay, well, we've had wonderful facts shared with you this morning. We look forward to your listening to this program, sharing the information that you've heard, going to megaphone.ca and looking for the publication Voices of the Streets. I am Sister C, here in the place to be, actually recording this morning at 312 Main, which is in the heart of downtown Eastside, in the heart of places where hope lives. I will look forward to you joining me again next week at 10, but you know what I say, whenever people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers. To untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time.
Tanya, when you were able was a small, so we know. As long as there's a child among my people, we will protect the land.
Ask me. The Vancouver Art Gallery presents Parviz Tanavali, Poets, Locks, Cages, the first major Canadian exhibition of works by the Iranian-born, Vancouver-based artist, Parviz Tanavali. The exhibition brings together over 100 major works, representing his six-decade career, and spans the full breadth of his practice from sculpture and painting to printmaking and mixed-media assemblages. To learn more about this exhibition, visit vanartgallery.bc.ca.